Blog Talk Radio.
Mama always told me, baby, you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. Real talk, you gotta listen.
I am your part of your host, Kaixa Rodriguez. My co-host, Tony, is on the other line. And we're going to do what we normally do week after week, bringing it to you, the discussions, the authors, the businesses, you know, informing and giving you something to think about. Tonight we are going to talk about entrepreneurship, starting your own business, being self-employed, the many different avenues out there, You know, we all think about it. We all get tired of the clocking in 9 to 5 type thing. So I'm going to talk about, you know, what does it take? How does a person get from a dream, a thought, to actually putting a plan into motion? And we're going to get right into that in the next 5 because we're going to do like we normally do. So I guess it's my week, right? Tony, you there?
Can you hear me?
There you are. I think you did one Monday, right? So that makes it my turn.
Yes, your week.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I do have something prepared, though, because I pretty much figured out, like, I think it's my turn. So while we wait for our guest, we do have a guest. We had 2 that were going to come on, a couple of entrepreneurs that have been doing their own thing for a little while. They were going to come on and share some of what they've been doing and some of their pitfalls and share with you, you know, a few things that they've gone through. We do have one that is definitely going to come in, Theron Shellman. Ms. Noel had to reschedule, so we're going to wait for him. We're going to do like we normally do, and, you know, I'm going to do my poem, and then Tony and I will conversate until Theron comes in, and we will do like we normally do. So my poem tonight, I'm going to get to it, and then we'll do that. I'm sorry I'm a woman, and I need things, yeah, certain things from you, emotional things, from a man who's not an emotional being. I know you were created with thinking in your mind, but I was created with feeling in mind. I'm sorry that saying you love me just isn't quite enough. I need to see it. I need to feel it, embrace it, live it. I need you to breathe the words by your actions. I'm sorry. I want you to give as much as you receive. I need you to step out of your comfort zone and give a little more and risk it all for me, for you, for our future. Yeah, I said our future. I'm sorry. I'm planning a happily ever after with rings and seeds and houses turned into homes. Sure, I know it won't all be A-okay because we'll fight, we'll argue, maybe even want to turn and run, but sorry, I won't. See, I can't see me without you. I'm sorry that you're in my world and I don't want no one else besides you. See, you've entered into my soul in such a strong way that I can't let go. You've become my number one, co-parenting, sharing household chores, embracing away my fear to dark, yeah, I admitted it, kissing away my nightmares. I'm sorry, I ain't letting this feeling go. I'm not letting you go. So tell me, will you do whatever it takes to keep us? I'm sorry. Listen, this apology is for the rest of our lives, because, baby, that's how long I plan on apologizing for the way I feel for you. So that was my poem.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Thank you.
I like that one.
Thank you. I try. So I'm going to check and see. We got a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to check and see if one of these is our guest. And, well, you know what? Let me do, because we don't normally do this. I'm going to bring him on in about 2 minutes because we don't normally do this. And I said last week that we were going to start talking about us as well. We big up everybody else and highlight everybody else, and we don't really talk about who we are and what it is that we do. So why don't we take 3 minutes, let's say 3 minutes, and talk about who we are and what it is we do. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan. Go ahead.
Well, other than being, you know, co-hosts here on Blog Talk Radio, we also happen to be writers. I am a published author who is republishing my first book. Tony is an aspiring author working on a couple of books right now. My book is named Beautiful, and it's the first of a 5-part series. The second one will be right along behind when I republish this one. We also are owner. Tony is the owner, and I am the head of marketing and advertising of Diamond Star Entertainment, which with that we do advertising, marketing, and promotions of clients as far as getting the name out of them, who they are, what they do, what services and products they have, and getting it out to you, the people who may be looking for those services or products. And we do that in a wide variety of reasons, the show being one of the ways, rather, that we get the word out on people, as well as advertising on our website through the use of social media and street teamwork, which people forget is very relevant still, hand-to-hand, talking to people hand-in-hand, handing out your flyers, your promotional materials, going into events and handing out flyers or your promotional items, T-shirts, you know, shirts, mugs, you know, using them for free giveaways at certain events and things like that. So those are some of the things that, you know, we do. Tony, why don't you tell them about your books?
My book is called, well, I have a few. I have a poetry book I haven't titled yet. I have more poems than I know what to do with, but I haven't titled the book yet. But I have a book of poetry I'm working on. I also have a book called Killer Instinct, and I have another one called Overkill. And then I'm working with an author on another book, a third book. We're collaborating, so started that out, and that one's kind of hot. So it's like I really don't want to put that one down, but I got to remember I'm co-writing it, so I can't like write the whole book. But other than that, on top of those books, I'm trying to get those done. At least get two of them written, because that's a total of four. I have more, but I'm only going to work on those. And I have the probably the release of two of them. I would hope to be able to do some of those by the end of this year, tops. By the end of 12, I hope to have 2012 have everything done, because it's been a work in progress for me. And with me running Diamond, and Diamond is also part of, we don't just do books with Diamond. I started Diamond off with doing music. So there's been a lot that I've done, and there are other business ventures that we're working on. So basically I'm trying to get everything prioritized and in order. I'm not trying to put my books last. It's become my newfounded love. I've been writing since I was in junior high, but I've never really published anything or thought about really going full scale with it until last year. So I'm trying to get everything in order. At the same time, I was thinking about getting my writing in gear. I had a lot of other things that I was trying to do at the same time. So it was a slow-paced year. Now I'm going to pick up the pace this year and try to finish some things that need to be done and get them out on the shelves, hopefully. At least two of them out of the four.
Cool. Well, see, we also have big things going on, and in the near future you may hear us being guests on other people's shows, you know, talking about all the many things that we also have going on. And as we mentioned probably a couple of shows ago, you know, we have the music that plays, you know, you artists that are listening that have your mixed CDs and albums, and even poets who have, you know, your poetry on CD. We are more than open to the idea of you guys sending us a MP3 of one of your songs, something like that we could play, and that would be another way to get you advertising so that people, you know, we say this is artist so-and-so, get in touch with them by here, you know, all that type of stuff. So we are here to help you. So if you're ever looking and, you know, you're looking for a place, feel free to, you know, get in touch with us. We welcome you. So I'm going to bring our guest on now, because he has been more than patiently waiting. Theron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm awesome. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, it's Theron.
Okay. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. I'm calling. I'm not actually calling from the right phone, because I'm out and about and my phone died, so I'm using another phone.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I'm glad you were able to make it then.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to come on the show. I'm looking forward to doing it, actually.
That's good. We're glad to have you here. So why don't you tell everyone what it is, who you are, what it is that you do, how long you've been doing it. We'll start with that.
Okay. As you know, my name is Devon Shellman. I'm a writer. I used to publish several authors. I'm a consultant. Many people look at me as a master marketer. My first book, Love Don't Live Here, I wrote in 2003. I realized I didn't know enough about publishing, so I took an 18-month hiatus to go back and study the industry. I read all the books on self-publishing. I traveled the country, going to different events, meeting authors, and it was in 2005 I republished Love Don't Live Here, revised edition. Currently, the book is at, I would say, 16,000 plus sales from that point. I'm the author of four books. That's Love Don't Live Here, No Love Lost, I won two awards for, India Excellence, and USA Book News Runner Up. The writer of The Secrets of Self-Publishing. My latest book is called Survive by Change the Rules. I co-wrote Love.com. I've done hundreds of book signings. I used to distribute urban literature to the book vendors in NYC. I currently consult two authors. One author, her book is releasing in July. Another author, her name is Karma. I mean, her name is Red, and the name of her book is called Karma. If I was to tell you all the things I do, it would just take too long to talk about all the experiences I've had throughout my career. The best thing to do would be to Google my name, Devon Shellman, and then you can see the vast amount of things I've done.
Okay.
All right.
Now, I know one of the things that you said that you do is sell, basically, I'll say it that way, others' products with the skincare line and stuff like that.
Oh, yes. I just started a company called Devon Shellman Skincare and Distribution. And what I currently do right now is I buy wholesale from other vendors and vendors of skincare manufacturers, and what I would do is I sell them retail, but I also am planning on selling them to different small stores like drug stores, little stores that you would find in the neighborhood. But I'm also lining up to produce my own products very soon. I've already made a couple of deals with a few manufacturers who are going to start off a little small production for me. But pretty soon you're going to be able to get Devon Shellman skincare products right off the website the same way you buy other companies' products.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. You're in it. Well, you're in it. You're in it deep. I mean, when it comes to someone that's doing business, a lot of people take on the role, different roles, but you seem to be taking on a lot of roles. You're wearing like a lot of hats, it would seem. You're putting out all these books, you're publishing, you're helping others do the same, you're cosmetics, everything else. Now, do you ever get, what's the word I'm looking for here? Do you ever get overwhelmed with everything that you have to do?
Well, at this point, what I've done is, because last year I had a big break. Last year I had a big break because the distribution that I was dealing with, the distributor I was dealing with, they went out of business. And so I took a hiatus because my books weren't being distributed to Barnes & Noble and Borders. So all last year, I had time to sit back and map out plans as far as what I wanted to do for this year and in the future. So that's when I came up with the idea for Devon Shellman Consultant, Book Consultant, and also Devon Shellman Skincare, you know, and distribution. At this point, it's not just me. I have other people I'm working with. And And as a matter of fact, within 6 months, I'm going to be forming another company, which is going to be the mother company of these two companies. But right now, I'm working with a corporate attorney. I'm working with an accountant. So I'm working with people that have more vast knowledge than I have, that have been in the business, that are very successful. So at this point, yeah, before it was overwhelming because I was just doing too many things. But now I'm starting to bring people on board who are more knowledgeable in these areas than I am, so I'm not spreading myself thin. I have the ideas, I have the motivation, and I have the knowledge as far as business sense, but I don't know the different areas like tax laws, the loopholes, just looking at it from a global perspective, whereas a person who's a corporate attorney understands these things. Somebody who is an accountant who does with taxes understands all them things.
Okay. Now, what did you find, what have you found with all of your many different ventures from a business point of view and from someone just taking, you know, the average person saying, you know, I'm tired of working a 9-to-5, I'm tired of getting up, punching the clock, making, you know, this CEO who I ain't never seen rich, I want to do something for myself. What do you think is the biggest mistake, I would say, people at that point make going into self-employment or entrepreneurship?
Okay, the biggest mistake is that you need to be able to separate your personal finances from your business finances. I resigned from my company. I was a production supervisor. I worked for Nature's Bounty, which is the second largest vitamin manufacturer in the world. I was a production supervisor, and I was getting paid salary, a nice salary, and I resigned in 2005, and I figured I had enough money to start my company, Third Eye Publishing, blah, blah, blah. But one thing you need to understand is that when you are going out, venturing out, starting a business, you are investing. And when you're investing into whatever it is that you want to do, that money's not going to come quickly like it comes on the streets or wherever, like you hustling. It doesn't work like that. So you need to have a steady flow of cash in regards to money to be able to pay your bills. And then you need to have money that's for your business. Now, if you go out and leave your job and you start a business and you're utilizing that money from your business to pay your personal bills or whatever, 90% of the times you're going to fail. And that's the reason why a lot of small businesses do fail, because it's all about cash flow and money management. And when you first get into business, you don't have what is called generational wealth, especially when you deal with minorities. Generational wealth is when you are born into a family. Say a family-owned business where your father started, your uncle started already. They already made the mistakes. So now they're teaching you all the ropes, both what to do and what not to do. So when you're new and you're just starting a business, you're going to make mistakes. You can read all the business books, Napoleon Hill. You can read about Rockefeller. You can read about Firestone. They will tell you you're going to make mistakes.
For sure. I mean, even with all the step-by-step plans, you know, they can't foresee everything. And even if you do A, B, and C, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a little bit different with your A, B, and C versus somebody else's A, B, and C. You know, they can't forecast how quickly your business will grow, how slow it will grow. And I know for me, that's one of the hardest things for me to do is to ride those waves. I tend to get excited at first. It's an idea, you go out, you do these things, you know, you get your website, you get things going, and then you get those first couple of people that support you, and you're all excited, and then when, you know, it kind of plateaus, and, okay, you're putting out all this energy and you're not getting much feedback, for me, I start to get depressed, and, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have did this, and, okay, well, what about now? And then I tend to fall off and tend to slack off, and, you know, what people need to do is, if this is something that you really want to do, you got to keep pushing at it, because it's like anything else, there are going to be waves. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, and you got to be able to understand that, especially when you're new and no one really knows about you. You aren't, you know, you will probably get those people at the beginning, your friends and family, people at work, stuff like that, that may support what it is that you're doing. But after a while, you're going to have to really get out there and spread the word in order to continue to grow.
Well, what I would say is this. Definitely, I agree with everything you stated. But at the same time, what happens is like, take the guy that's a football player in the NFL. You know, he wasn't always that great. It comes with time. It's the same thing with business.
Yeah.
I lost money. I lost a lot of money first starting with my publishing company. I lost plenty of money. But you're going to get to that point if you're persistent, you're constantly learning, you're building a contact. You're going to get to that point of you making mistakes, and then you getting to that point of saying, now I'm ready to go to that next level. And you always got to be reinventing. You always got to be looking at your business plan and making changes, because everything changes. Money is not the same today as it is, as it was yesterday, and it's not going to be the same tomorrow. It's the same thing with your business plan. You got to constantly grow with the times and make changes. Like, even with me, as far as books, you know, people ask me, you know, people say all the time, he's arrogant or whatever. I don't get caught up. To me, it's I don't get caught up in all the imagery and whatever, and that's why I've been able to survive. I left the business for like 18 months. I haven't been in the stores or whatever, but my social pages have been active. I can still go to a library event and pack it, because I never look at it as the book being a product. I'm the product. You know, people, you have to create your business around you and your personality. And I think that's what happens a lot of times in the book industry, especially. Everybody's competing against each other for shelf space and for notoriety, because they're caught up in the product, that book, and not looking at it as they are the real product. People are supporting you, and it's you and your ideas that is going to take your business to the top or take your business to the corner and flop. When you look at IBM, when you look at Microsoft, Bill Gates, any of these people, they're the product. IBM had a slogan that they were a people company. That was the product. That you work for us, we're about to. When you buy a product from us, we're putting out a product that's for you, you know? So it's the same thing. And I think that people really need to get their mind cap on. Put your mind cap on. A lot of everybody just got that hustle mentality. This is not the streets. It's a totally different world of how things operate. And you need to be able to switch from that mold of the corner to the business mode. It's a totally different world. You know, even with my books, I strive to not just market my books to African Americans. Why? Because story is a story. Conditions and circumstances that people face are things that everybody goes through. So when you get caught up in just looking at whatever agenda or group of people or whatever, you're limiting yourself as to what it is you can do. Not only that, you put yourself in a pigeonhole where you can be controlled by other people. I never concern myself with what goes on in the industry. I'm the industry as far as I'm concerned, because I'm taking a piece, a chunk out of the market share or the people, and I'm bringing them into my world. I'm not concerned about what goes on in the book industry. I strive not to even get involved.
Now, what do you think? And there's plenty of websites out there about the pitfalls and things to stay away from and mistakes to avoid. And I know some of the main ones that they say are, you know, going it alone, you know, starting a venture solely alone, just you, no one else to help you out or to be your support. What is your take on that? Do you think it's a good idea to have a business partner, or
I look at it like this. It all depends on who you are. Some people don't have the business sense. So if you don't have a business sense, then you need to bring other people on. But if you can do it by yourself, then by all means do it. I mean, for people to sit back and say you need to be in a group to do something, that's not the right look at society. You know, that's not always correct. That's like saying that, oh, you need a degree to get a good job. Rich dad, poor dad, Think and Grow Rich disapproved that. It showed that the majority of people who run this country are not people who have degrees. They're people who hire people with degrees to work for them. They're not the ones that create. The people that have the degrees already showed that. They're the ones that are structured. Ideas make this world go around. Ideas make money. You know, so when you look at it from that perspective, like that people say, oh, you need to be associated with this person, you need to be associated with that person, that's not the truth, because you could be that person if you wasn't too busy trying to tag along them, be around them and worrying about what they're doing, worry about what you're doing. Now, what you should do is, the smart thing I would say do is develop your plan, develop your ideas. Get it started. If you have the ability to get it started, then bring people on board that can take that idea further. And that's just my opinion. Not to say that's the right thing or the wrong thing, but that's for me. I'm an individualist. When I came in this industry, I published my book, Love Don't Live Here. They thought I was a woman. I wrote that book. It's about two young African-American women who, through different circumstances, become single mothers, striving to raise their sons to be productive men. No black men was writing books like that. Everything was shoot 'em up, bang, bang, this and that. So when I put the book out, they actually thought, yo, who is this, a lady or something? So if I had sat back and thought about what everybody else was doing, then I would have just been the same as everybody else. I didn't want to be that.
Yeah. Okay, now what do you think? I'm just going to go through some of these and get your, and Tony, you can chime in whenever you want to get, because, you know, you're also a business owner and have been, you know, a business owner for a few years as well. Asking advice. Me and Tony go back and forth with this as far as mainly with our writing. You know, we're in a million groups on Facebook, you know, where people give you your advice. Is there a limit? You know, can you get, you know, I want to say, too many chefs in the kitchen? You know, you're trying to get advice on how to start your business, how to run your business, what the next steps are. Can you ask too many people the same question?
What I think is that in regards to asking for advice, you know, they had this saying, the only question that's a dumb question is the one that's not asked. So if you don't know something, then you should go to somebody who does know that. But to just be asking people randomly, you would waste time and energy. You should, you know, find somebody that is up there. Like when I'm getting my advice right now for the businesses, I'm not going to just average people in the industry. I'm going to people who's getting it seriously, because I know I'm going to get information that's worth my time. I don't have time just to have random conversations. So if you really want to be successful, I'm not saying it's for you, I'm not saying it's for anybody, then go to somebody who knows what it is, and you don't need to ask 100 people the same question.
Okay.
Now, that's my opinion.
Yeah, see, and that's what, to an extent, that's where the decision was left, like even the conversation concerning me and Kaya, that was something that I was curious about. There are a lot of people out there that want to start something, they want to do something, they don't have the answers. And one of the things that came up a while ago was, okay, well, study it. Now, this is something that you did. You actually, you put out your book, and you said that you ended up taking a year's hiatus, and you just went and you broke everything down. You studied everything, right? And you got everything in order that you needed as far as what you felt you needed to learn. There are a lot of people that, you know, for me, that adds a third aspect to it, because there are some that will take it and they'll they'll take an idea and they'll be like, okay, I need to find out, does Johnny know how to do this? Does Susie know how? So they'll start asking if they know that Johnny and Susie have already done this. Then they want to go to them and ask them so that they know how to do it. And then there's the ones that, you know, there are those that believe, well, if you want to know something, then just go, I mean, instead of asking questions, just go and study it so that you know it. So is it better to, I mean, instead of just asking, is it better to, like, just go and find this stuff out for yourself? Just study this like you did when you took a whole year.
Yeah.
Is it better to do it that way? Or
I would say what you just mentioned. Me, I'm a and it all boils down to what type of person you are. Me, I've always been a person that I'm a thinker. I can't have you do something for me that I don't know nothing about. You know, that's like you being in business and you don't know anything about finances. You got an accountant, a lawyer doing everything. You're just looking to get robbed. So, of course, I do feel that if there's something that you want to know how to do, then you should make the initiative to go out and learn about that. Even if you do bring somebody else on board to do it, I have people who email me all the time. Now, I'm the type of person, I don't mind asking a question or whatever, but come on, man. I'm trying to handle my business. And I have people tell me, I had a lady tell me, well, I don't got time to study. I got kids. I said, you know what? I don't have kids. Because I made in my mind that I'm going to go out there after my goals because you made the decision to have kids. So what? That's my fault. So you ain't got the time to study, but that's my fault that you ain't got the, you felt it was more important to go out there and have kids instead of striving for your goals. I'm striving for my goals so that I can go out there and have a family and give my family anything that they need.
Now, you do have those situations, however, where you had people that, I mean, and this is a touchy, it's a touchy topic, but you have those that didn't necessarily go out and plan, you know, and or they've had the kids, and then they get an idea or they get motivated to want to do something at that point. Is it for those? Is it wrong for them still to necessarily? And you didn't say it was wrong, but is it wrong to, you know, expect them to want to ask those questions?
Well,
because they may not, at this point, they may not have that, they may, she like she said, they may not have that time to get into a study, you know. Like, I admire you for taking that year, you know, and doing what you had to do and studying. There are those that may not have that time, you know what I mean?
Well,
so is it,
what I want to say,
you know,
is this, what I want to say is this, that in your response to say that, they might not have the time. From human experience, me being 39 years old, what I think I've learned about people is that if something is important to you, you will find the time to do it. If you like watching football, you will find the time to do it. If you like watching basketball, you will find the time to do it. So if there's something that you want to do and you have it in your mind, you say, I don't have the time to study it, you're lying because it's 24 hours in a day. There's sometimes I go 4 hours out the day, 4 or 5 hours out the day because I'm just, I got things I got to do because it's important to me to do it. I already have it in my mind. If I don't do something, it's because I need an excuse not to do it, not because I don't have the time to do it.
When I was
a supervisor, check this out, when I was a supervisor, I had no choice. I had to work 45 to 50 hours a week. And this is during the time that I was studying. On my free time, I would go to the library. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, on my free, no, I didn't hear you. On my free time, I would go to the library. And then I would also be on the internet. So you were talking about I was working sometimes 70 hours a week. I was that job. And that was 20 hours or so of study. So when a person comes to me like that and they say that, I'm not the one to talk to about anything like that, about sacrifices, because I've spent numerous years locked up. I spent numerous years just pissing off or whatever. And then I've also spent numerous years of rehabilitating myself from that messed up mentality I have. So I have no thoughts about a person and a million and one excuses. You got to take them excuses somewhere else. And I'm not, I don't listen to people's excuses, because at the end of the day, we all are the makers of our own destiny. You're either going to do something or you're not going to do it. But
See, that was one of the things that, you know, was my point when me and Tony had this conversation, that there's always some type of time in the day that you can put to research. I understand that. I mean, and when I put out my first book, I had no idea, absolutely no idea how to put out a book, none whatsoever. My girlfriend had just put out a poetry book. She said, here's this site, you write it, you make sure it's all correct, upload it to the site, and you got a book. So that's what I thought self-publishers did, and that's what I did. And I did no research. I didn't think about, you know, finding anything out. This was, you know, the information that I had at the time, so that's what I used. And like you said, after you put it out, then you realize that, wait, I didn't do this the way it should have been, or this could have been a whole bunch better had I known. So,
exactly.
You know, now I'm researching. Now I pulled it back. Now I'm going through, and, oh, there is a way to do a professional cover. There is a way to get someone that edits your book. It should be lined up a certain way, you know. There's a, you know, the code on the back of the book, the, you know, getting it into libraries, all of those millions of different things that I had no idea about. If I had maybe even just Googled on the computer how to write a book, you know, something as simple as that, I would have come up with some information. And, you know, like you said, there's no excuses. If you really want to do something in life, if this is your goal and this is your dream and all you're going to do is say, well, I don't have time or I can't do this, well, then it's never, ever, ever going to get done. There's plenty of single mothers out there who work, go to school, and come home and raise their families. So if they can
do
all
of that, I could tell you something better than that. Not to cut you off, but I could tell you something better than that. I know a woman. Check this out. I know a woman who was pregnant, had a full-time job, and got a law degree. So me looking at her, this was like back then when I was doing what I was doing. So when people tell me stuff, and she was married and took care of a home because she was Indian and her husband was Indian. And from them countries like that, the woman do everything in the house. So she was pregnant, ready to have a kid, taking care of a home, husband, working, and got a law degree.
Yeah,
wow.
That's what I'm saying. There's always time. I mean, if people look and broke down what it is that they do during the day, them saying they don't have extra time, I mean, do you really have to watch that? Was that 3 hours of TV? That right there could be 3 hours that you spent. Well, those are my favorite shows. Okay, well, what's more important, watching your favorite shows or this business or going to school or something that it is that you want to do? You have to prioritize, and sometimes prioritizing means making sacrifices. It means, okay, well, I can't do this because I really need to do this. I want to get out of the place that I am right now, and the only way that I do that is if I make a change, because you keep doing the same thing that you're doing, things are never going to change. You have to do something different in order to get something different. So if you keep making excuses, well, then 10 years from now, you're still going to be in the exact same spot because you haven't done anything different.
You said the biggest word, sacrifice, and most people, they don't want to sacrifice. If you knew how my social life was, I mean, not you, because, you know, you're on the grind of what I don't have no social life. You know, my lady's coming out here to move out here to Texas so we can handle stuff or whatever. But as far as what recreation and all that, I don't do none of that. I got a goal that I'm out here doing. So when the dude is out there in the club partying or whatever, or when the person's out there doing whatever, I ain't doing none of that. My life is my goals.
Yeah.
So when a person comes to me and saying, I'll sit back and look at their life, oh, you work a regular job, then you party on the weekends, I'm not trying to hear you.
Now, with the understanding that when you first formulate, when you first decide that you want to do this, you want to start a company, we know that the first thing you need to do is you need to come up with a game plan. You need to come up with a business proposal. You need to get yourself write down your ideas and how you want to achieve them. What would you say is the next step after that? I mean, there are a lot of people out there that want to start businesses, just don't know how, and you've done it with two businesses already. You've started two. So how did you go about starting both of these businesses? What was the next step, like, after the game plan? I mean, is there something that
I would say the beginning of the game plan, the beginning is reading. Read as much business books as I can't even tell you how many books I've read, you know, on not just the structuring of businesses, but business philosophy, you know, the millionaire mind state. I've read so many business. That's the first thing. You got to develop a mind state. You cannot go become a star running back when you're not even psyched to become a star running back. And it's the same thing with business. You cannot go into business or think about opening a business until you get into the mind state of being a business owner, the mind state of being a boss, because most people, 90% of people, have a worker's mentality, a 9-to-5 mentality. So until you can break yourself out of that type of thinking, and that all starts with developing the knowledge and wisdom of that type of thinking, then you can progress and go on to the next stage, which is deciding what it is that you want to do. Do you have the aptitude to do whatever type of business that you want to do? And make sure it's not based on emotions. A lot of people do open a business or do whatever based on emotions because they see somebody else do it. It just looks fabulous or whatever. So success should always be a driver.
So you want to make sure
you don't want to do nothing and not become successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was saying, so basically you want to, before you even do a game plan, as far as that goes, you want to even decide whether or not this is something that you can do, which a lot of people don't look at that. They see it,
nope.
They, you know, they like the idea of it. It's appealing to them, but it never crosses their mind, okay, well, am I actually able to do this? Is this something I can really do? So that would be actually, for me, I would figure that would be the very first step then.
Yes, that's at the top of the list. That's at the top of the list. Why would you fool yourself to think that you could become an NBA player when you can't even beat the dudes in the park? So it's the same thing with knowing what it is you want to do business-wise. I want to open this huge catering hall, blah, blah, blah. Do you know about food? Do you know about catering? Do you know about dealing with people?
Yeah. Let me bring up, we got a caller on the line. Let me get our caller on. Caller, you're on the line. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, that was me talking, so I don't know who is that.
One of you. Okay. We have a caller. He's like, you answered my question. 340 area code. If you're there, you are on the air. Okay. We're going to see. Maybe they changed their mind. They pushed the button saying they wanted to talk, but we'll go back in a couple. Let me try one more time before I say no. Caller, are you there? Nope, I don't know. Well, thank you for trying. I don't know what happened, and I'm hoping that it wasn't for some unforeseen reason we can't get you on the line. But I thank you for your interest in making a question or a comment. I want to ask this question, Theron. We got about 7 minutes left. How important, with what you two, with what you and Tony were just talking about as far as making sure it's something that you can do, planning it out, and I would assume that this is where your marketing plan would come in. This is where you could sit down and really say, okay, this is what I want to do for a business. What am I going, what is, you know, your marketing plan should include all of those types of things that you spoke of. You know, I want to open a bakery, so what do I need to open a bakery? You know, do I have what it takes? Do I know how to make cupcakes? Do I know, you know, how to run a restaurant, but a kitchen, period. You know, do I know the ins and outs? And if not, do I know someone or how to get in touch? Because you can be the owner and not actually make the cupcakes. But
exactly.
Do you, if that's what you're going to do, you know, your marketing plan, you're going to figure all of that type of stuff out. And then it would be, okay, do you know someone or do you know how to get in touch with someone who can then run your kitchen for you? How important is, a lot of people don't know what a marketing plan is or that they should have one.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, speaking of marketing plan, you know, I learned back in 2005 with my first book, you know, a marketing plan consists of many things. Like I'm working on, I just got finished two marketing plans for the authors that I consult with. A marketing plan consists of, first, you got your headshot. Then you have your bio. Who are you? What are your qualifications? Your company letterhead. You have your press release. You have your marketing plan, and then also you have what I would call a synopsis. If you're starting a business, a synopsis would be information on that business and the owners, et cetera.
Now, how important is that to the success of a business?
Oh, that's so important. You know, a marketing plan is part of your business plan, but it's also an entity within itself. If any business that doesn't have a marketing plan is a business that's going to fail, because your marketing plan tells you everything about the business and the owners and the future of the business, where you want to go. What is your marketing plan? What do you plan to achieve? Your marketing plan is stating where you are right now. Where do you want to go in the future and how you're going to take the journey there.
So basically, like, it's basically your step-by-step of what it is that I'm doing and where I want to take it and how I want to get there.
Exactly. You won't get a business loan. You can't even get investors to invest in you without a marketing plan. They're like, okay, you talk a good one, but on paper, show us what's going to happen. What's going to take place within 6 months, a year, et cetera? What is your ultimate goal? Where do you plan to be when this is all over?
Okay. Let's try our caller again because they're still there. 340 area code, are you on the line?
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. How are you?
Hi, Kai. Hi, Tony. Hi, guest. I just want to say a couple of things about what I was hearing really quickly. I don't know. I came in on the tail end, but I was hearing the brother talk about the importance of research and the backups. I'm a shoe designer. I'm a manufacturer, and I own a footwear company. And basically, with footwear, pretty much has the same dynamics. You definitely need a business plan if you're going to banks to request money. You definitely, as he stated, need a marketing plan if you're going to go after potential investors or, you know, silent partners. But the most important thing is research. The research is so key to the beginning of a business. You have to see the need or the lack thereof of whatever your business is. You need to know who your competition is. You need to know if there are any other businesses doing what you are planning to do. You need to check consumer reports on those businesses to see where they rank. I would suggest that every business or any person who's interested in going into a business conduct a SWOT analysis. And a SWOT analysis is basically talking about your strengths, your weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats of the business that you choose to get into. And you can actually go and Google
SWOT analysis, and it'll tell you all of the basic information that you need. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in and calling me.
You're welcome. Have a blessed evening.
You too.
I think that that's very important. That's why I wanted to, like, get the dynamics of the very beginning, because a lot of people, they get an idea and then they just try to jump in. And I think they try to jump right into the middle of it all, and they have big expectations. And when those expectations don't pan out, then they get upset. They get bothered, discouraged, and they want to quit because they never went to the beginning. They never started from the beginning.
Okay,
which is
can
very
I say
important.
One thing? I just want to interject one thing.
And
don't get emotionally involved in your business. A business is like a baby, a child, an adult. It has a life of its own. A lot of times businesses fail, you know, and I had a problem with my publishing at first because you're too attached. It's almost like a book. You don't want to edit it. You don't want it because you're just too emotionally attached. You got to look at it as just a product. It has a life of its own. A company is the same way.
Okay.
That's an interesting take on it.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard that before. But if you look at it, because it's like that book that he's talking about, that book that you write. You don't want anybody saying anything negative about that book. That's your baby. So that makes sense. Yeah.
The reason you know where I got that from? I was watching a show of investors. They were angel investors, and they were investing in companies, et cetera. Or people who are creating inventions. And one of the guys, he mentioned something. He said, you know what? He said that we would like to buy into your company or whatever. And the guy didn't want them to buy into it. And the reason why the guy said to it is that the only way you're going to make that company success is that you got to disattach yourself from it. You're too emotionally involved. And you're not looking at the company as a company and an entity on its own.
Wow. See, now you stumped me, because I don't want to say stumped me, but, you know, that's something I hadn't really heard before, so I'm going to have to think about that one. But, I mean, I do see what you're saying. I definitely do see what you're saying, you know. If you get yourself emotionally wrapped up into it instead of just letting it be what it is, you know, I definitely see the point of that.
I can see that too. I just I'm looking at both sides, and I'm like, well, if you put the emotion into it, some people like, because they there's that saying that I've tried to live by, you know, find something that you love to do, and you never have to work again. You know,
yeah.
I understand it.
You can love
what you do, but at the same time, you need to be free enough mentally to make the right decisions to do whatever it is you want to do. It's like the author who don't want their book edited because, oh, that's my baby. No, you need to make that product the best product it can be.
Okay, so basically, so be attached enough to be objective.
To be objective. A lot of people are so attached to the idea. I'm not going to change our products or whatever because I like them. But then you got somebody who's telling you, a professional, that you need to change this because if you change this, you're going to sell a whole lot more. And at the end of the day, you're in business to make money. So why you wouldn't change that to make more money, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we're down to our last minute again, as usual. Everyone should be used to this by now. We try. I try every week to at least be able to stop 5 minutes early so that we're not rushing off and like, say goodbye, quick, hang up. But we always seem to go right to the last minute. But I thank you so much. Last minute, you know, last week I put this out on my Facebook page if anyone wanted to, you know, come in and talk. And I thank you so much for stepping up. I thank you so much for coming in and sharing your knowledge with us, with our listeners, and I really appreciate it. I thank you, our caller. I thank you for coming in and calling in and sharing as well. On Monday, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Okay, I was going to say, I want to say thank you for coming too. And again, everything I stated was my opinion in reference to what I do. It's not meant as a blueprint for everybody else, because at the end of the day, all the business decisions that I'm making right now, I consult with professionals as well. And that's one thing I said about not being emotionally attached. Before, 3 years ago, I would have never did that. It's all my idea, blah, blah, blah. I'm right now striving to build a corporation. And with that, I have other people on board.
Yeah,
and I'm courting them for their information.
Yeah, that's definitely our disclaimer, is that we don't, you know, pretend to know it all, and everything is opinion. You know, it's our opinion or our listeners' opinion, you know, so, and we just come to share that, you know. We share our opinions and hope that they touch someone or give someone some insight that they may not have otherwise had.
Exactly.
So, again, thank you, Theron. Hopefully, Monday we may be having a show. And hopefully you come back. We're either going to do it Monday or the 23rd, either the 14th or the 23rd. So keep an eye on my page. We're definitely going to need the men to come out and support if we do it on Monday. Whichever day we do it on, we're definitely going to need the brothers to come on out and support. We always get the sisters to come out, so we're going to definitely make sure that we get some fellas to come on out and support. So thank you again. It was an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy your evening.
Okay, you too.
You're welcome.